friends. Welcome to the Skyline Church podcast. I'm Jonathan Middlebrooks, one of the pastors here at Skyline Church. Skyline is a worshiping community, a disciple-making community, and a generational community. We're committed to seeing revival in our city sparked through the presence of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. These sermons are specific to that purpose and in the context of our unique community. We hope that it might bless you in some way. Enjoy. July 1st, 1857, a quiet, zealous 46-year-old businessman in New York was appointed as a missionary in downtown New York at the Dutch Church. His name was Jeremiah Lamphere, and he had been converted in 1842 in Broadway Tabernacle, which was Charles Finney's church that was built about 6 years earlier. Jeremiah Lamphere felt led by God to start a noontime prayer meeting, weekly prayer meeting, in which business people could meet for prayer. He saw what was happening in the world. He saw that there was a lack of spiritual fervor. They were dealing with a massive financial crisis in the United States. You had growing animosity between the North and the South. And he just thought, what should we do? And he said, I know, I'll just start a weekly prayer meeting. Anyone could attend for a few minutes or for the entire hour. Prayers were to be comparatively brief. Lamphere's group met on the third floor of the old North Dutch Reformed Church on Fulton Street in New York. He printed some handbills announcing prayer meetings with the title, How Often Should I Pray? He left these in some offices and warehouses. He also put one on the door of the church on the street side. The first day, September 23rd of 1857, Lamphere prayed alone for about a half an hour. But by the end of the hour, six men from at least four denominational backgrounds had joined them. The next Wednesday, there were 20. On October 7th, there were nearly 40. The meeting was so blessed that they decided to meet daily instead of weekly at the noon hour. 1 week later, there were over 100 present, including many unsaved who were convicted by the Holy Spirit of their sin. Within 1 month, pastors who had attended the noon prayer meetings in Fulton Street started morning prayer meetings in their own churches. Soon, the places where the meetings were held were overcrowded. Wouldn't that be awesome if all prayer meetings in Oklahoma City were overcrowded? Men and women, young and old, of all denominations met and prayed together without distinctions. By the end of March, over 6,000 people met daily in prayer meetings in New York City. By the end, many churches added evening services for prayer. Soon, there were 150 united prayer meetings each day across Manhattan and Brooklyn. 150 prayer meetings across this island that started with one person. Almost simultaneously, noon prayer meetings sprang up all across America in Boston, Baltimore, Washington, D.C., Richmond, Charleston, Savannah, Mobile, New Orleans, Vicksburg, Memphis, St. Louis, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Chicago, and in a multitude of other cities, towns, and in rural areas. Isn't this amazing? In a day where information didn't travel very quickly, how fast? That would be in our day, it would be like in the next 30 minutes. 150 prayer meetings just spontaneously erupted around our nation. Among the daily prayer meetings were reported 150 towns in Massachusetts, 200 towns in New York, 60 in New Jersey, 65 in Pennsylvania, 200 in Ohio, 150 in Indiana, 150 in Illinois, 50 in Missouri, and 60 in Iowa. Of the 30 million people living in the United States, nearly 2 million people were won to Christ during this prayer movement. Almost 2 million people in a nation of 30 million. So almost 10% of the population. But you have to remember, this population was much more churched than we were. So of the unchurched population, this probably represented 30 to 50% of the unchurched, unsaved population in our nation gave their hearts to Jesus in this movement. So we're talking a comparative day in our time of tens of millions of unsaved people coming to know Jesus in a very short period of time. This mostly happened between 1857 and 1859. Can you imagine? So just 10% of our population would be 30 million, but if you thought about 50% of the unchurched, non-religious, right? We've talked about the nuns. it would be more like 50 to 80 to 90 million people flooding churches for prayer and getting on their face and asking for forgiveness for their sins and coming to know Jesus as their friend, master, savior, king. The moral change was so great across the country that Louisville, Kentucky daily paper reported that the millennium had arrived. Yeah, you don't think that's cool enough. Like, you need to think about it again. Can you imagine the Daily Oklahoman being like, the millennium's here? Guys, we're in the last 1,000 years. Like, Jesus has come to reign on the earth. Like, that's insane. How much change has to happen in a nation for somebody to declare in a public newspaper the millennium has arrived? It's crazy. The Presbyterian Magazine reported that as of May, there had been 50,000 converts of the revival. So in 6 months, 9 months, 50,000 converts just in the Presbyterian Church. But that's not all. I love this. It was reported that a canopy of holy and awesome revival influence. In reality, the presence of the Holy Spirit seemed to hang like an invisible cloud over many parts of the United States. Can I read that again? Close your eyes and hear these words and imagine. A canopy of holy and awesome revival influence. In reality, the presence of the Holy Spirit seemed to hang like an invisible cloud over many parts of the United States, especially over the Eastern Seaboard. At times, this cloud of God's presence even seemed to extend out to the sea. Those on ships approaching the East Coast at times felt a solemn, holy influence, even 100 miles away, without even knowing what was happening in America. Revival began aboard one ship before it reached the East Coast. And this was a common story of this movement, was that people would enter the zone toward New York City, and an entire ship would come under the power, presence, conviction of God. No one preached. People on board began to feel the presence of God and sense their own sinfulness. The Holy Spirit convicted them, and they began to pray. As the ship neared the harbor, the captain signaled, "Send a minister." I love that. They're like, "We need a pastor on the dock when we get here because we don't know what's happening." And there's reports that on these ships, men would be wailing and weeping on their faces as they came under conviction for their sin. And by the time these ships arrive in the harbor, both passengers and crew, suddenly convicted of sin, had turned to Christ before they even reached the coast. The battleship North Carolina Navy ship was anchored in New York Harbor as a naval receiving ship. More than 1,000 young men were on board. 4 Christians agreed to meet together for prayer and knelt on the lower deck. I want you to hear the force multiplier of Christianity in prayer. 4 Christians kneel for prayer. The Spirit of God so filled their hearts with joy, they broke out in song. Ungodly men on the top deck heard the singing, looked down, and saw the boys kneeling. They began running down the stairs, mocking and jeering. The convicting power of the Holy Spirit so gripped them, but by the time they reached the bottom deck, they fell on their knees and began to cry for mercy. And they said every single man on that ship became a Christian. Again, without a pastor, without a sermon, just the power and presence of God in response to people praying. That's the power of prayer. And I think that's why Jesus said, "My house will be called a house of prayer," right? Not a house of preaching, not a house of programs, not a house of anybody's different persuasion of theology. It should be a place where people pray. That's how Christians should be known in the world. Oh, those people who pray. They pray about everything at all times without ceasing. It seems like their answer to every question, problem, confusion, doubt, thought is to look up and pray. Can you imagine in our city a movement of prayer that spreads across the city? It changed so much that every industry started to shut down at noon because they were losing so many workers. They're like, "We might as well just let them go." Then they started putting prayer rooms inside the businesses because they're like, "You're going to walk over there. We might as well let you pray here." And they started praying inside these businesses. There were rooms afforded to these people to say, "We know you're going to pray. So here, just go pray over there." And then you have prayer meetings inside of warehouses and factories all over New York City. But could you imagine in our city? I love the simplicity of this story because the man who started it was a businessman who just happened to be a missionary. And he didn't know what to do, so what he did was pray. He just invited people to pray. And it was cross-denominational. There was no leader. You'd go to these meetings. You could pray for 5 minutes. If you prayed for more than 5 minutes, a bell would ring. And that meant your time was over. And then somebody else would pray. And they said, man, the conviction of the Holy Spirit would hit these rooms and men would just fall on their face and they would weep as the presence of God poured out through prayer. But can you imagine a movement of God in our city where the rest stops in Noble and Guthrie and El Reno were full of people under the conviction of the Holy Spirit as they neared our city? What if a canopy of holy and awesome revival influence came over Oklahoma City and people couldn't drive through without meeting him? Wouldn't that be amazing? So we're telling revival stories. We're reading revival scriptures. We're praying revival prayers. And so this morning, I wanted this not just to be a story of the past. I wanted you to hear a testimony of prayer. So I'm going to invite my friend Sarah up here. And she's going to share with us a testimony of how prayer transformed something in her life. And then we're going to pray. Does that sound good? Everybody agree?
Hey.
Got it.
Thanks. I am so excited to share this story because it's so fresh. And I had the opportunity, even this weekend, just as a grace, to go see my mom. And she retold this story from her perspective. And we just take a walk. And I wasn't raised by my mom. And we were estranged. And in my childhood, I had seen her 3 times. And she was addicted to drugs and obsessed with sex and wild living. And I was raised by my dad. And I had a stepmom who just raised me like I was her own. And because of her family, I met Jesus. And I could see so clearly, like, the contrast, and never struggled with my faith. But I didn't know my mom. And it was something that I didn't really think about because I had a loving father. He was doing his very best and loved me. And a stepmom who loved me and took care of me and told me about Jesus. And I had a mom, so I didn't think much about my biological mom. In 2018, we were meeting in our home around our table weekly in the missional community. We were at Skyline. And I met a woman named Crystal who God used her to show me my mother. And she was going through Remerge, and it was a diversion program where she was fighting to get custody for her kids. She was sober. She had been on the streets, like all these things. And she was young. And I just was, for the first time, like filled, moved by, with compassion, filled with compassion for my mother and how she must be thinking about me. I wasn't thinking about her, but she must be. I'm a mom. She has to be. And she, you know, nothing happened, it felt like. Nothing happened immediately. But around our dinner table and through our missional community and leadership at Skyline, the thing that we were supposed to do around our table was pray for things that felt impossible. Take the things to God that felt too big, that you didn't have hope and faith for. And I remember praying around that table. Some of y'all were there around that table praying for my mom, and had like a granular sized amount of hope or faith that anything would change. And I didn't hear from my mom again for a whole nother year. I had no idea. I didn't have her phone number. I wasn't really thinking about, you know, like the pursuit of that. I wasn't able to like find her on Facebook or anything like that. God was moving, and a year went by, and it was the summer before we had our 5th kid. We're on vacation. I got a very long text message from a number that I didn't know. And it was my mom. The message was like, it's your mom. And I'm sober. I was radically delivered from my drug addiction. I've been sober for 2 years. I've been in and out of the VA hospital, like helped in her recovery. They got her all of her benefits. She's like 100% disabled from the time that she spent in the Army. And so she's living off of that, and she wanted to like come and see me and see, like meet her grandchildren. And it was just because we prayed. And then that summer, by Christmas time, she came and stayed with us. And you know, I'm like, this is gonna be weird. I'm like, I am having major red flags and walls, and you know, this is gonna be weird. This is gonna be so hard. And it wasn't. God had drastically redeemed her story and her life, and she was free and living this beautiful redemptive story. And then she was able to explain to me what was going on in her life in 2018 when we were praying around our table, and how she had hit rock bottom, how she was homeless for the first time, how she was facing 4 felony convictions. She was supposed to be going to prison, 25 years to life, and none of that happened. It's a miracle. The Lord completely changed her life. And not only that, but I did not need her when I was little. I had a mom, I had a dad, and I have a half-sister, and her life is wrecked with all the trauma and all of the chaos that she grew up in, being around her mom, our mom. And she's raised by her dad, who's a drug addict. And my whole story was one of redemption and how the Lord scooped me out of what should have been my reality. But Christmas came and she stayed, and it was beautiful. And then now she lives 15 minutes away from me. And she is the most reliable adult and grandparent that we have in our life. She does what she says she's gonna do. She's there, she's available. She's, you know, making up for lost time. And we need each other now. Like, what she couldn't do for me, then she's doing for me now. And vice versa. Yeah, so praise the Lord. It's like, I just hope that that story stirs up in you, like your little granular bit of faith. Like, couple that with Christ and the power of God, and watch Him move, and we'll hear more stories.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Man, just let that sink in real quick. I'm going to ask our prayers to come down and get ready. Ask the band to come back up. Come on now. I love that story, because I think what would have been easy for Sarah to do, and Adam with her, would to be like, I got a thought from God that I want to connect to my mom. I want to see something happen. So I should probably start doing a bunch of stuff. I should start seeking. I should start calling. I should start investigating instead. And really, as part of what was happening in our church at that time, I was like, what if we just started praying? What if we just ask God? He's the prodigal God. This is who He is. This is what He does. What if He just did it? And the beautiful thing, that's not the only thing that God's done in that way in the Luck family. That's just been such a pleasure to walk alongside them as they just prayed about things. But I love that, because that means this morning, the things in your heart that you're like, I don't know how to fix this, and maybe you've tried a million ways, God's like, guess what? You're asking me for something I really want to do, and actually probably what the answer is this morning is to fully let it go to Him and just start praying, and for us to pray together. Because I remember praying for your mom. Like, I remember just clearly just be like, in times, be like, God, do what you do. Like, this is who you are. Amen. So I want you to really capture that this morning, because we're going to do this morning. We're actually going to pray. And one of the things I love about this morning is, if you know it or not, we like to say we're a worshiping community, a disciple-making community, and a generational community. And that those aren't just words, that's who we are. And one of the things you're going to hear this morning as we pray is you're going to hear our generational community. Even this morning in our Sunday school class, formation class, sorry, Brooks, formation class. It's not Sunday school. We don't do Sunday school. We do formation classes. We prayed for somebody for miraculous healing, and the last person to pray for him was a 12-year-old boy. Isn't that amazing? Like we're building a church where our children are learning to pray and to trust God and to believe for miracles, okay? So I want you to stand to your feet. All right. And so I'm just going to start us in prayer. Would you join us? And if you feel led, open your hands, lift your hands. And can I just say, as we pray, would you practice some response? I had this thought while we were worshiping. I was like, I bet if I yelled out boomer, half this crowd would yell back sooner. Half. I don't know what the OSU version is. I've wiped it from my brain. But isn't that sad that if I yell boomer, somebody would yell sooner? But if I say Jesus, nobody says amen, hallelujah, Maranatha. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so I just want to encourage you, like, maybe this morning, practice like praying out loud. Practice for, if somebody says something, your heart's leaping, respond. Say amen. Say that's right. Say whatever it is. Say what Perry, whatever Perry says. Imitate. This thing. There we go. So, you ready? Let's start. God, we love you. Thank you for Sarah's story this morning. Thank you that you're the God of Hagar who runs out into the desert and thinks she's dead, and she meets the God who sees her. She literally says, I've seen the one who sees me. You're the God who sees us. You see every part of our life. You know every ache, pain, trauma, failure, every devastation that's hit our family and our ancestors, everything, God, that locks us down and keeps us away, you know, you see. Today, we're coming to you. You're the author and perfecter of faith. As we pray, would you produce faith around these stories that seem like they are hopeless and they've gone on for years and we've tried everything we could. We threw everything we had at these things and nothing has changed. And yet, you're the God who never gives up. You do not grow weary. You're not like humans. Oh. Come, Holy Spirit, as we pray. Pray in us, pray through us. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you're doing.
Oh God, I want a story like Sarah's. Would you stir my heart to pray for things that feel really hopeless? Stir our hearts, God, as a body. Father God, we know you come where you're wanted. We cry together today as your beautiful bride. We want you here, God. Come visit us. Make your presence known to us. Draw us into a place of holy intimacy we've never known before. We turn our hearts to you. Come meet with us. I adore you, Father God. You're so kind. And as I stand here in your presence, I hear you say, I adore you, my beloved daughter. This is where it all begins, sitting together, enjoying one another. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you adore your children. You don't base your approval of us on anything we've done or anything we could ever do. You love us and you delight in us even now, even on our roughest days. You love us so much and so tenderly. Experiencing your love is the greatest joy of my life. We want fellowship with you, Father God. We want to lock eyes with you, precious Jesus. We want to experience your manifest presence, Holy Spirit. Thank you for pulling back the veil. We can see you clearly now. Implant new desires for adventure in our hearts. We want new adventure with you. Take us somewhere new this year. As we look at you, as we behold your beauty, make us become more and more like you. Thank you, Father, that you don't just tolerate us. You enjoy us. Teach us to abide minute by minute so close to you, Jesus. I confess, God, I'm so distracted. I'm so easily distracted. Take
take my face in your hands. Press your forehead to mine and lock eyes with me. I surrender to you today. Anything that takes my eyes off you. God, forgive me for the idols I've put before you. Forgive me for believing the lie that I'd be happy if only. You are the only one that belongs on the throne of my heart. Your ways are so much better. You are my King, Jesus. We don't have time for distractions. You say in 1 Peter that you have chosen us. We are your royal priesthood. We are your very own possession. We stand and declare the praises of you who called us out of darkness and into your wonderful light. There is no time for distraction. You have so many good works you plan for us to do. Open our eyes to see the good works right in front of us. You've planned so much good for us to walk in today. Jesus, keep our eyes on you. Keep me close to your side so I walk at your pace. I smile with your smile and I offer everyone I meet your love, your joy, and your peace. Father, our hearts are broken for our kids that are walking away from you. We plead the blood of Jesus over their lives. They need to see you. They need to behold your beautiful face. They don't want empty religion. They don't need legalism or behavior modification. Exchange all the rules for a real relationship with you. They need a face-to-face encounter with the real Jesus. When they encounter you, the real you, they won't be able to look away. You're so beautiful. Draw their hearts, Jesus. Speak to our kids and their dreams. We want this generation to turn back to you and be obsessed with you, Father. We declare Psalm 102, our children will dwell secure. Our offspring will be established before you. Capture their hearts, Jesus. Jesus, we love you. You're welcome in this place. Thank you for meeting us here. Thank you for being so kind to send your spirit to dwell with us. We want to see your glory here, Father. Jesus, we want to see your face. That's our heart's desire, just to see you. Our hearts cry out to meet with you, Lord. Father, when we look at you, we see your fiery eyes full of love and compassion for us. You adore your children, Lord. Thank you for being a kind Father who has time for us. You're not an impatient Father, but you look right at us, just so happy to see your children. Father, I pray that we will see your face and that we would encounter your presence in a new way. Lord, I pray revival would begin with encountering your spirit. Pour out your spirit, Lord. Jesus, when we lock eyes with you and feel your presence, I pray that that would be the thing that changes us. Father, your spirit transforms hearts, and we want to see that transformation here. Lord, I pray for my generation. I pray that all we would want is you. I pray the cry of our hearts would be that Jesus is better. I'm sorry for when we've doubted your goodness and put our hope in other things. Lord, restore a trust in you that you are better. Thank you, Lord, for a Holy Spirit that refines our hearts and changes our desires to live according to your ways. Father, you are good, and we want to look more like you. I pray that you would restore a purity in my generation. Jesus, that you would look at our hearts and say that we are the pure of heart with childlike faith. Lord, I pray for children who have grown up around your word, that it would not become monotonous, but you would reveal yourself to them in new ways. Father, I pray that when they open their Bible, you will illuminate your words to them. Jesus, I pray for a revival in lukewarm Christian homes. Show them the passion you have for their lives. Father, I also pray for the families that have never heard your voice. Jesus, for the children that are far from you. Lord, meet them right where they're at. Show up like you always do. Father, you are passionately seeking after them, and I pray you would meet them face to face. Holy Spirit, I pray you would light up a new imagination of what is possible with you. I'm sorry for when we've grieved your Holy Spirit. Let us show you our adoration now. I pray that Holy Spirit imagination would run wild and we would not put you in a box, Lord. Give us opportunities to love you with our yes. Father, remind us that it's fun to live life with you and that you want us to enjoy the calling you've given us here. Jesus, show us how we can live a life boldly in the Spirit. Kind Father, pour your Spirit out on my generation. Let us see your face. And I pray revival will spark from seeing your face and encountering your Spirit.
Lord of heavenly forces, you are God, I am not. worthy of all praise, worship, and time. We cannot even fathom how worthy you are. Thank you, Jesus, for this moment you've given us. You've blessed us. Lord Jesus, come. Come rest on this moment and for the rest of our lives. Your people long for you. We long for you alone. Answer your people's desperate cries. We need you, Jesus. We are but dust, but you, God, you are the Lord who is over all things. Your kingdom is over all. So come. Lord, come and mend our hearts. We long for you. It's our deepest desire. Continue to work in the hearts of the younger generation, Lord. Continue to stir their hearts to you alone. Turn them from the evil that surrounds them. I pray Psalm 91 over this younger generation, that you'd protect them, Father, that you'd put your wings over them, that these kids would grow up saying, Jesus is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Jesus, bless them and keep them. May your face shine upon them every day of their lives, Lord. Lord, I pray for the universities, schools, and campuses that are full of desperate children and young people looking for you, Lord. There are so many lives being believed by so many of your sheep. So, Jesus, I pray your name against the spirit of apathy on campuses and schools worldwide, Lord. I pray against the spirit of worthlessness plaguing the lives of the younger generation. I pray that you build them up. You are faithful to your creation. You have been so faithful. You seek out your lost sheep. Use your body to move in the darkest spaces of campuses, schools, universities, workplaces, coffee shops, cities, nations, and the earth, God Almighty. For the men and women who have already seen you, remind them of your unending glory. For your children that have not heard your voice, speak to them in miraculous ways. I long to see a change on campuses nationwide and worldwide, Lord. Jesus, move on campuses. You are our protector. You're a good father. You're a caring father. What a blessing you are. So lift us up and protect us against the evil one. Jesus, raise up the older generations as wise counsel in the lives of those who need it. Raise up a fleet of willing mentors, disciples, and friends to lead. Continue to raise up leaders who are confident and free because of the oneness that they have with you alone. Raise up people who are willing to warn the disorderly, comfort the discouraged, and help the weak, and be patient with everyone. Lord, we need you. Multiply our granular faith, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name.
Father, we love you so much. We ask for the Holy Spirit to come and fill our hearts. We ask for your healing presence. Come here now, make us new. Heal our hearts. Make them pure so that we may see you all of the time. Where two or more gather in your name, there are you in the middle. Make us acutely aware of that fact, Jesus. You are here with us. We ask for the Holy Spirit to fill this building and pour out into our city like a waterfall, like a dam breaking. We pray against any other spirit, any spirit other than your own, God, that you would take up all the space in our hearts and in this room, leaving no room for other wretched things, God. Anxiety, lust, shame, be cast out in the name of Jesus, the salvation of Yahweh. Come in, Holy Spirit of peace, love, and joy. Jesus says, how good is life for those who grieve, that they will be comforted by the Lord. Come now and spark that fire of hope in our hearts, that the fire grow into zeal for the kingdom of God. Come now like fire, God, we are desperate for you. Like the bush that Moses saw, God, catch us on fire, God, we are desperate for you, God.
Revival in this church right here and right now. Move in us, God. You said in Ezekiel that you would give us a new heart and put in a new spirit in us. You said you would remove our heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. You said you would put your very own spirit in us and move us to follow your laws. Work in us, us, O God. Show us your ways. Move on us so that there can be revival. You are good. Let us follow after you and show others your way. Your ways are beautiful and we love you, God. Speak to us, God, to every person in this room, young and old. You said you would pour your spirit out on your people. You said your sons and daughters would prophesy and young men would see visions. Do it again, God. I'm begging you, pour out your Holy Spirit on us. God, we know what it looks like when your spirit moves. Look at Paul. He was a person who didn't even know you, even though he claimed he did. When your spirit fell upon him, he became blind. Then you healed him and allowed your spirit to move through him. And he changed the lives of so many people. God, you can perform miracles. You can do anything, God. I pray in your mighty name that when your revival comes, it'll change the lives of so many of your people. I pray when the revival comes, I would be found running towards you and what you want us to do in this church, in this city. God, you died on the cross. God, you ripped the curtain between you and us so that we can talk to you, Lord. We can talk to you. What a gift. God, I am so sorry when I have taken that for granted. You died for us, and yet we can't even do the simple things you have asked us to do. Forgive us for wanting to be cool more than we want to be with you. Forgive us for wanting to see a screen more than we want to see your face. Forgive us for fighting with the people you have given us to love. We love you, God. We love you. We love you, Lord. We can't create revival. Only you can, Jesus. You are like the bonfire that never burns out. You are the one true light. We are like candles. We can come to you and be witnesses to your light that never runs out. Then we can spread the light to others who are in darkness. Light up everybody who's in darkness. Make the darkness run away from you, Jesus. Rescue everyone who's battling addiction and darkness. Light our paths when everything seems dark. We love you, Jesus. Amen.